Want to greet each one in the precious name of Jesus. That appreciate so much that last song and the victory note that we read in there, we sing in there, of that he is risen and he lives forevermore. I would like to invite your attention this morning to Jerusalem, to Luke chapter 2. This is a very special service for us, and one of the things that's impressive to me is that when when God chooses symbols, there's more than just one or two faint parallels to reality, to our life. When he chooses the wine, for example, for a symbol of his blood and a symbol of communion, when he chooses the bread as a symbol of life and a symbol of his body, there's more than just one or two faint parallels. It's a strong resemblance when you consider the many layers that you can go through to see. And so there's many layers in life, and there's many layers to what he has here in Scripture. This morning, as we consider this chapter, Luke chapter 2, I'd like to read about Simeon here, starting with verse 25. Think of this old man living in Jerusalem and having a revelation that he is going to see the Lord's Christ before he dies. And I don't know what his expectations were. If he went to the temple every Sabbath expecting to see this, but this one Sabbath he did. He went and he held his own salvation in his hands. Verse 25, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him, and it was revealed to him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms, and he blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen my salvation. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, and the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." I'll just stop there. You know, it's a very brief account, but it has so much truth contained in these few verses that it's a marvel to me. You know, in a physical sense, there was this old man waiting for the consolation of Israel, waiting for some sign from the Lord that he was going to keep his word. There were many people that were looking for the Messiah, but the Lord had given this man a special insight. And when he came to the temple and he realized that this baby that Mary held in her arms was the Savior of Israel, was the Messiah, he made some statements that hadn't been made up to this point, or not to Mary and to Joseph there. And it's something that reaches down to us today in a very special way. But, you know, just as we consider our own surroundings and our own environment here, there's a number of children. There's lots of children here. There's a number of baby boys here this morning. Who of us would say that this person is going to rise up to be a great servant of God? Which which of them will be willing to give his life in complete service to the Lord. We trust they all will be servants of God. But more than likely, some of them will be called to a service that is different. And so, you know, as you know, everyone is special to us. But we don't know the future. And I certainly wouldn't take it in my hands to say this one will do something. But Simeon did. He had that revelation. And it must have been very, very special to Joseph and Mary in a physical sense. And yet there was something more. And there's something that's very special to me this morning in what he said. In verse 32, he says, "He is a light to lighten the Gentiles." You know, the Gentiles were as far from God as it was possible to be. But Christ is the one that made it possible for us as a people to be God's people. And there were ways that they could be incorporated into the congregation of Israel. But as a savior of the world, Christ brought the gospel to the Gentiles as well as to the Jews. He said, "Mine eyes have seen thy salvation." Here in his arms, he was holding a baby. I don't know if he knew what God had planned or not. But he obviously knew more than what the ordinary man did with the words that he said. "Mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people." And then he goes on to say, "A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." And then he turned to his mother and he said, "This, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." And I think that Mary must have certainly thought on these words exactly when she saw Jesus crucified on that tree years later. And no doubt there was a sword that pierced her heart as she thought about that. But here was a man that saw God's plan when Jesus was a baby in his arms. And he spoke clearly of the fact that he was going to be a light to the Gentiles, and that's for us today. Now, he wasn't alone in that. I know that there were prophecies, and I'd like to turn to Isaiah chapter 53. It's a very familiar chapter, talking about the sufferings of Christ, and probably many of us have memorized that in years gone by, and maybe you're working on it now. It's a beautiful scripture. I'd like to just read chapter 53 and part of and go on from there. "Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep are gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. Who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living, and for the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed and shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied by his knowledge. Shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Now let's go directly into chapter 54. This is a chapter that is beautiful in describing what Christ did in his death and suffering. But I love to see this chapter and the next put together. Sing, O barren, that thou didst not bear. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, that thou that didst not travail with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. Enlarge the tent, the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations. Spare not, lengthen the cords and strengthen the stakes, for thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed, neither be thou confounded, for thou shalt not be put to shame, for thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth, and thou shalt not remember the reproach of thy widowhood any more. For thy Maker is thine husband, and the Lord of hosts is his name, and the Redeemer of the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth, shall be called. For the Lord hath called thee as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, and a wife of youth when thou wast refused, saith the Lord. For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies I will gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy upon thee, saith the Lord, thy Redeemer. For this, as the waters of Noah unto me, for as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee, nor rebuke thee. For the mountains shall depart, and the hills shall be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord, that hath mercy on thee. O thou afflicted, tossed with the tempest, and not comforted, behold, I will lay thy stones with fair colors, and lay the foundations with sapphires, and I will make thy windows of agates, and thy gates of carbuncles, and all the borders of thy borders of pleasant stones, and all the children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. In righteousness shalt thou be established. Thou shalt not be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall not fall for thy sake. Behold, I have created the smith that bloweth the coals in the fire, and that bringeth forth an instrument for his work. And I have created the waster to destroy. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment shalt thou condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. I think it's really significant that God in his wisdom caused Isaiah to speak these words very, very specifically of Jesus and his sufferings, and very specifically of bringing the Gentiles to his church that will stand the test of time forever. You know, God works in tremendous ways to bring his people to himself. Just this past week, I was reminiscing about some Bible school days. My wife and I were talking, and I remembered I think it was, must have been 1972. That was my first year at Messiah Bible School, and we went to on gospel teams during the weekend. We went to different churches, and one of the places that I went was Hartville. I don't remember seeing Marcia there, but we stayed at a home that I knew the boys just very vaguely. But anyhow, the one that I stayed with was not a Christian. And the next morning, our plans were to meet at the school and go back to Carbon Hill from there. And I rode with this young man in his car to the school, and he had long hair. He had music that was not Christian, and it just his general rebellious attitude was very much, very different than what a Christian should be. Very different, very rebellious. Well, from the time that I met him until our next year at Bible school, there was something very significant that happened at school there, and there was a revival that made a tremendous difference in the lives of many people, and he was one of them. And I didn't know about it at the time because I had no communication there, but the next year at Bible school, this young man visited, and my, what a change. Everything from his appearance to his speech to his to the shine of his eyes was different. There was a change in his heart that was obvious in every respect. It was a beautiful thing to see him talking about his love for the Lord and what Jesus had done for him. Here's a boy that had a lot of advantages but many disadvantages in his life as well. But God reached out to him, and the difference that it made in his life was very obvious. To me, I just knew him just faintly from earlier times, but we knew him better after that. And then when I got to know Marcia, then of course I got to know him much better yet. But anyhow, Jesus was an answer for the hope of Israel thousands of years before now, and he's the hope of the church today. When Christ is central in our life, we can enjoy these blessings that he's talking about without reservation, with the same attitude of glory and thanksgiving as what they had back then. I'd like to read one more chapter in Isaiah 55, beautiful scripture that again extends that invitation to all. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and a commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew thee not shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, for the Holy God of Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, for he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but it watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it. For ye shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. The mountains and hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the fields, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, and for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Let's pray. Let's kneel for prayer.